Good morning, happy Thanksgiving, and happy Hanukkah. It's 8 o'clock, you're listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinick. A Delta County school board member is calling for a change to school district policy when it comes to transgender students, saying students should use facilities based on their biological gender alone and not their gender identity. At a meeting in late October, Catherine Svensson presented board members with an article discussing how California and Massachusetts had passed laws specifically granting transgender students that right.
And I said, I just want everybody to know what's going on in the rest of the country. And I, for one, say it won't happen here without a plumbing change.
But here's the thing. State law in Colorado says it can happen here. In a recent and highly publicized case from Fountain, Colorado, the state's Division of Civil Rights ruled that a 6-year-old transgender girl named Coy Mathis was discriminated against when she was refused access to the girls' restroom. Coy Mathis is biologically a boy, but according to her parents, had strongly identified as a girl since about the age of 4. Michael Silverman is the executive director of the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund. His firm represented Mathis in a discrimination complaint lodged by her parents against the Fountain Fort Carson School District.
And what the Colorado Division of Civil Rights said was that within the state of Colorado, you cannot deny a transgender child the right to use the bathroom that matches who they truly are.
But Svensson says she wasn't talking about transgender students having access to bathrooms, and that a reporter she first spoke with misunderstood her comments.
What she left out was that I was referring to the locker room.
Still, Colorado's anti-discrimination rules state that transgender people have to be allowed access to any facilities that are, quote, consistent with their gender identity. That includes restrooms and locker rooms in schools. I asked Svensson whether she was familiar with that law.
No, I thought it was in California and Massachusetts. I did not know it was in Colorado.
The Delta County School District and the school board have distanced themselves from Svensson's comments, saying they're simply her own opinion and don't reflect the school's policies. Tammy Smith is the board's vice president.
We are following state and federal law with our policy, and that says that we will not discriminate.
But for her part, Svensson says she'd like to see that policy changed.
The new policy would state that as long as you are biologically of one sex, you use those facilities. The transgender boys are still biologically boys. And since transgender is something they have in their mind, they can change. They can change in an instant, back to biological boys.
It's not something that you can change, as it's not a decision.
Krista Whipple is the president of the Gender Identity Center of Colorado.
We're born with it just like any other physical or mental attribute.
She says the perception of gender identity as something that can change back and forth poses challenges for students in particular.
They get a lot of pressure from that. They feel very discouraged. They experience depression because people don't understand them.
As it stands, even if Svensson does suggest the school board adopt new policies for transgender students, the Mathis ruling and state law would supersede those changes.
That's not limited to Coy Mathis. That's not limited to the Fountain Fort Carson School District. That's Colorado law, and it applies across the state.
Then I may have to go a different route. I certainly can't make a policy against the policy, can I?
And in a statement to KVNF, a spokesperson for the Colorado Division of Civil Rights said, quote, "These comments are certainly troubling to Division Director Steven Chavez, and he hopes it does not represent the sentiments of the full board." A Delta Montrose Electric Association board member has resigned. At a meeting on Tuesday, Glenn Black said his employment with the city of Delta would conflict with the board's move to take legal action against the city. Black is the community development director for Delta. Earlier this year, the city began having conflicts with the electric co-op over who has the right to serve the Maverick subdivision. The DMEA has since decided to sue the city over that right. According to a press release, Black resigned from the board shortly after that decision was made. Meanwhile, the co-op has approved its budget for the coming year. Included in that budget is a rate increase from 9.4 cents per kilowatt hour to 10.3 cents. The DMEA estimates that increase will cost the average residential consumer about $7 more per month, and that increase goes into effect in January. The BLM is limiting its offers for oil and gas leasing in northwestern Colorado next summer because of concerns related to the greater sage grouse. But as the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports, the agency is still moving forward with putting up 29,000 acres for oil and gas development. About 26,500 acres will be offered for sale in Garfield, Rio Blanco, and Moffitt counties, along with another 2,560 acres in Jackson County. Meanwhile, the agency is releasing its environmental assessments for leasing proposals in the White River and Kremling field offices this week. According to the Daily Sentinel, around 40,000 acres were originally nominated for leasing in the Kremling region and another 65,000 in the White River region. But the BLM is removing some of that acreage in the Kremling region because of concerns about greater sage-grouse habitat. The agency has been moving forward with measures to protect the bird in the northwestern part of the state, mainly to keep it from being listed under the Endangered Species Act. The energy industry and some local government officials have criticized that move, saying it could hinder oil and gas drilling in the area. As the Daily Sentinel reports, just over 21,000 of the acreage up for leasing in June of next year is on federal lands. And recent storms over the past couple months around Telluride have given ski areas a 39-inch base, making businesses there optimistic about the start of this year's ski season. As the Telluride Daily Planet reports, the town reported only a foot of snow at the beginning of last year's season. Snowmaking crews will also have more time and resources this year to open mountain areas earlier, since the town isn't hosting the Snowboard Cross World Cup like it did last year. Telski PR manager Tom Watkinson said the town hasn't seen this much snow this early in a while. Watkinson said the quality of skiing this year could be, quote, off the chart. Meanwhile, National Weather Service meteorologist Joe Ramey says this winter looks like it could be a wild card year, saying forecasts show the region could see more snowfall than usual, especially in December. Ramey said, quote, all possibilities are open when it comes to snow levels this year, but added that December is still likely to be a very wet month. According to the Daily Planet, hotels in the region are seeing a jump in advance bookings so far this winter. One hotel said it's already 33% ahead of where it was this time last year. If that trend continues through the ski season, it's expected to have a positive impact on retailers in ski areas as well. And remember that as the season continues to change, you can post your observations, photos, and videos of the weather at thealmanac.org. The Almanac is a part of KVNF's crowdsourced climate reporting project, I See Change. The Alpine Chapel in Telluride is hosting its annual community Thanksgiving dinner this evening from 5 to 7 at the Telluride High School cafeteria. The event has been taking place for about 15 years and is open to visitors, local families, and the public at large. The chapel will be giving away winter clothing for those in need, and according to the Daily Planet, cooks and volunteers at the event typically serve up around 200 pounds of turkey, 150 pounds of potatoes, and 25 pies. You are listening to Regional News here on KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. A very happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. And if you haven't yet started chowing down this evening or you're simply too full to do anything else, tune in for our evening newscast for a special Thanksgiving Day look into the art of cooking with Chris Bailey. We recently visited the Trading Post in Paonia for a behind-the-scenes, in-the-kitchen look into the delicious Monday meals Chris serves up each week. That'll be tonight, after all things considered, at 5:50. And also a reminder that online pre-bidding is already open for the annual KVNF holiday auction. The on-air auction starts on Monday and runs through next Thursday. You can check out our website at kvnf.org for more details. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.